Hey everyone, it's Laura Khalil and this is Brave by Design, and we are back. We're back from our break, and I just want to say, gosh, I've missed you all. I have missed this community over the last few months that we've been on break, and I was thinking about you today, and I was thinking about so much of the work that I've been doing in my business since we last talked, and I'm like, gosh, Laura, how have you not shared this with the community yet? So I wanted to come back. And that is why we are back. We're here. You're going to notice, you know, we're going to have a little bit of a different format to the show as we move forward. There are still going to be interviews. I'll talk about that in a second. But I'm going to be sharing a lot of stories. So today we're going to actually discuss a story from a few years ago about what businesses can learn from my experience visiting the worst restaurant in Detroit. But I'm going to talk about that in a second, but that's a little teaser. We're going to get into a great story, but just give me a minute, because I first really just want to say thank you to our listeners for continuing to download the show. You know, while I was on break, while I was having my hot girl summer, y'all know I was talking about that. We have been ranking in New Zealand, in Australia, of all places. It's been really exciting to see this show grow in places that are really on the other side of the globe from where I am. So I want to say thank you to that audience there. Thank you for listening. I also want to let you know that I really needed a break too. I needed to reset and recharge and also focus on some other areas in my business. So thank you for giving me that grace. And, you know, give yourself that grace too. If you need a break, take the break. You know, you've heard me say it. I don't know, we've done like 100 episodes of Brave by Design, which is hard to believe, but I'm sure on one of them I've said, you cannot fill from an empty cup. You've got to fill your cup up. And that's what I've been doing really over our summer here. So the show's coming back starting today, but things are going to be a little different. So what we're going to be doing on Brave by Design this season is really talking about some of the business elements needed for the solopreneurs to get booked solid and double your revenue. I'm going to be sharing a lot of stories, as I mentioned, and you're going to be hearing more solo episodes with me talking directly to you. We're also going to have some experts in the fields of marketing, design, and innovation on the show, and you'll hear those because, you know, we all have to stand on the shoulders of giants. We can only learn by someone lifting us up on their shoulders and showing us how big the opportunities are, how great the field is, how much there is out there for us. That's who we learn from. So I'm excited to also bring their stories to you. Now, you've always known me and you've always known Brave by Design as the person in the podcast that is really dedicated to helping women rise, and that's not changing. And as I've evolved, part of that dedication is to really helping women who are solopreneurs in marketing, design, and innovation rise. You can go back and listen to our first episodes where I talk about my journey as a solopreneur, as a business owner, rising as a consultant in the marketing field, working with some of the largest brands in the world. And it is my mission to now lend a helping hand to those women who are coming up to help the next generation. And even to help women who are of, you know, all different ages. You don't have to be younger than me. You can be older than me. That's okay. But to help them, give them a helping hand, teach them what I've learned along the way. And, you know, over the summer, it's interesting, one of the statistics that has really lit a fire under me while we've been on this break is that there are only 2% of women-owned businesses that surpass $1 million in revenue a year. Only 2% of women-owned businesses surpass $1 million in revenue a year. And that rate is roughly 4 times higher for male-owned businesses. Now, there could be a lot of reasons for that, but Where I want to focus is on helping entrepreneurial women, and particularly those solopreneurs who want to outsource work to a few consultants of, you know, on their time. So if you're a solopreneur who works with other solopreneurs or who, you know, has 1099s, I want to help you rise and get a bigger piece of the pie. Those of you who don't live in the United States, 1099 just means that's the form that you legally fill out with the government to be designated as an independent contractor. So I work with a lot of solopreneurs who engage a lot of independent contractors to help buoy their business. So if that sounds like you, we're on track here. So let me think about what else I wanted to share before we get into the story. So this is what I wanted to talk about. I want you to get a bigger piece of the pie. And this is where I see a lot of these solopreneurs stuck. And this may be you. So if this is you, I'm really interested to hear from you. Typically, these women hit between $100,000 and $150,000 a year. So they're doing well, but they hit this income cap right around $100,000 to $150,000 where they have no more time to trade for services. And at this point, they're typically pretty exhausted. They can't take on any more clients, and they're kind of stuck with how to grow the business. And ultimately, a lot of them say, gee, I'd really love to work less and even make more money, but I don't know how to do that. So first, I want to say, if this sounds like you, I want you to join me for the Get More Clients Roundtable. These are typically the second Tuesday of each month. However, in September of 2021, it is on September 21st. But typically, they're the second Tuesday of each month. This is a free event. You can come meet me on Zoom. You will meet other people like you on Zoom, and we're going to talk about your challenges and we're going to network. All the information on the Get More Clients Roundtable is at bravebydesign.net/events. So go check that out. Sign up. I'd love to see you. If it's not in September, perhaps it's at a future roundtable. So getting back to my point about we hit this income cap between $100,000 and $150,000. One of the biggest myths out there is that in order to make more money, you have to work harder. Friends, this is not true. This is just simply not true. This is the type of thinking that really is what I would call Industrial Revolution thinking. So the good news is you're not Henry Ford, and we are not building the Model T. You know, when you're in a car factory, you know, to make more money, you have to make more cars, right? But we are not in the Industrial Revolution anymore. But we've held on to a lot of beliefs from that era. We are in the digital information age right now, and digital information is not like selling a physical product. See, in the past, where you said you might have had to spend more time to make more money. Today, the greater the impact of your information, the more the revenue. Time and money are not linked. And this is a really big shift and a big sort of mental shift for us to all make. So for those solopreneurs who are capped between 100 and 150 and can't figure out where to find the growth, this is exactly what I help you do. We help you double your revenue. So head on over to Brave by Design, right? Head on over to bravebydesign.net right now, because we have a tool that's going to help you see how easy it can be to double your revenue in the next 3 months. It is smack dab on the homepage. You're going to click the link to see how easy it can be to double your revenue in the next 3 months. And that will take you to this super easy to use calculator that I've created for you that does all the heavy lifting in figuring out what it takes to double your revenue. You plug in your numbers and it does the rest. It's easy to use, even if you're afraid of numbers, especially if you're afraid of numbers. I use it, friends. I use it, and I think you're going to love it. So that's right on the homepage at bravebydesign.net. You can go check that out. You can see how easy it would be for you to actually double your revenue in the next 3 months. Now, I promised you a story about the worst restaurant in Detroit and what it can teach business owners. And I'm ready to get into it. Okay, I had to do a little bit of a preamble. I had to share some info. I had to spread some love, but I'm ready to get into the story now. So this was actually a few years ago, and it was a really chilly December evening, and I was with my gal pal. Her name's Anne Marie. We finally got this reservation to the newest and hottest restaurant in Detroit. Now, before you ask, I am not going to be naming the restaurant because I don't really think that's kind to do. I'm just going to share my experience, okay? So we get to this restaurant, we get into the vestibule, we heat up and while the hostess is preparing our place in the restaurant. And it was so popular that our reservation wasn't even for an actual table. All we got was bar seats. So we walk into this place and it is hopping, but that's fine. We don't mind squeezing in at the bar because we're here and we are ready to see what all the fuss is about. So we get to these seats and I order my staple winter cocktail, y'all. It is an old fashioned. That is bourbon, a hint of sugar, some bitters, and a spritz of orange peel, usually with a big ice cube. And when this is done well, oh my gosh, I hope y'all, if you drink, this is a great winter drink. There's a hint of sweetness to mellow the bite of the bourbon from that sugar. So I was excited to start off with this drink. So my old fashioned came, but it wasn't exactly like a hint of sugar. It was more like a dump truck of sugar. It's like they had gone to Willy Wonka's factory and said, like, just throw it in the back. Throw all the sweetness in the back. We're going to dump this all into Laura's drink. It was saccharine sweet. And I just couldn't drink it. So I said to Anne Marie, I was like, can you please taste this? Am I just really sensitive? She had a taste and she was like, yeah, no, that is totally undrinkable. So I was like, okay, there must have been a mistake in its preparation. And I really wanted to let the bartender know that I wasn't happy and that I think they just made an honest mistake and, you know, could we remake it? So when the bartender returned, I mentioned that the drink was not to my taste and that I had expected it to be less sweet. Now, typically in this situation, I've been in this situation before and the drink's remade and the bartender will incorporate the guest feedback, right? That's what we would think would happen. But that's not what happened here. So he was furious and he didn't say anything. He walked away. He grabbed one of those long bar mixing spoons that they have on the counter and he brought it up to my face and he points to the spoon bowl and he said, "That's how much sugar I put in. That's how it's made." And just walked away. Now, whatever the case may be, the drink was not to my liking. And I didn't want to order another drink from him because I didn't trust him to take any more feedback. I mean, he did not seem to take feedback well. So I stuck with water instead. And I bring this up because you know what it feels like to be shut down by someone, don't you? Could be a client, a spouse, a parent, a kid, a coworker, a manager. It sucks. It sucks. And I want you to focus on this because when we become so focused on being right, it automatically makes everyone else wrong. We can no longer incorporate feedback, collaborate productively, or help people feel comfortable around us to work with us, because our fragile egos need so much tending and reassurance that they really handcuff us. When we become so focused on, I have to be right, because anytime one person has to be right, it means the other person has to be wrong. And then we shut down. Feedback is a two-way street. We have to be able to receive it. We have to be able to know how to give it as well. So one of the things I work on a lot is when someone is giving me feedback, is listening. And often what I'll do, especially now in the era of Zoom, and you know, we aren't doing as much in person, is I will actually write down everything they say. And it's okay to say, hey, I'd love to reflect on what you've told me. I need to spend some time with it. Because often we can hear things, and when we hear them in a business context, we can filter them through, well, you know, this is what I know about so-and-so, and do I like them or do I not like them? Do I trust them or do I not trust them? And then we hear what they say through our filter, through our perceptions, through our biases, and it can so skew things. And I love to be able to write down what people say, because then you actually see it in front of you and you're like, wait a minute, this is what they said. That's not what I think they said. And we get a much clearer idea. So that's one trick that I like to use. But I always remember, focus, instead of on just trying to be right, focus on trying to learn what it's like to be in another person's shoes. Focus on what it's like to have their experience and that empathy, because that can actually help build the bridge to connecting, instead of saying, I'm right, not you. Mm-mm. So, but that's not the end of the story about the restaurant, but that is one of the first lessons about this restaurant. So while the drinks were amiss and, you know, we weren't really loving the bartender, that's not actually what we came there for. We came for the food. The food was supposed to be phenomenal. And we did not want to take any chances with the menu. So we asked the staff what they were known for. And there were two dishes that were mentioned. The first was this potato leek soup, and the second was a celeriac salad. Great. Now, we decided to go with those, and then the waiter said, but before I put the order in, I just want to inform you that the salad is salt forward. Y'all, I don't think I have ever heard the term salt forward used in my life. I grew up in a family where we had, you know, my parents had like high blood pressure issues. So we were, quote unquote, salt backward. So I am more of a low sodium person than a salt forward person. So I was not up for the thrill of the salt forwardness. But Anne-Marie is less salt sensitive than I am, so she decided to go with it. And I was like, okay, you do the salt forward salad. I ain't heard of that before, but I'm going to try the soup. I love a good potato leek soup. So the food arrives. Anne-Marie takes one bite of this salt forward salad and says, this is pure salt and my mouth is getting cut up. And I want you to imagine, like, having just, if you take a salt shaker and just shake it into your mouth, that salt can feel like little daggers of crystal that are, you know, tearing your mouth apart. So she takes a couple bites, pushes it to the side. And I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll get her the soup instead. I mean, how can you mess up potato leek soup? Let me just say, those are famous last words. Because as this soup is sliding down my throat, and this is no exaggeration, if Anne-Marie were here, she would tell you this, I could feel my throat closing up at the onslaught of vinegar that I had just poured down it. One of my arms went to my throat and I just began gagging. And the other went to Anne-Marie's arm as I did my best to squeak out, my throat, it's closing. And I lunged for the nearest glass of water and I started chugging water. sweat was pouring down my face. I was coughing. I was turning red. And I was just trying to clear my airway. If you have ever drank a large amount of vinegar, I really do not recommend ever doing that, because it does create a constriction in your throat. And that is exactly what this soup tasted like, was basically pure vinegar. Now, I don't want to suggest that the chef should have been arrested for attempted murder, but in the court of public opinion, they definitely had a license to kill with vinegar and salt. And so at this point, we're sitting there. She can't eat her salad. I nearly, you know, auto-asphyxiated myself. And we are looking at the other diners like, what the heck is going on here? And everyone seems to be fine. No one's choking. They seem to be having a good time. And we are somehow in some like alternate universe where only this inedible food was served at the bar for us. We could not figure it out. Now, we knew from our experience with the drinks that they were not going to take the feedback well on the food. And we were warned that the salad was quote unquote salt forward. So we also were not going to order any more food based on just this terrible series of events. The average bill for dinner there was around $300. So we were just done. I could not understand the hype of this place. Why were people eating here? And this is what I want to share with you for your business, because sometimes the hype and enthusiasm for something new can cause us to overlook a litany of flaws. That doesn't mean the flaws don't exist or come out. They do. In business, if the hype and marketing looks great, people can be really excited to check something out like this restaurant. But if your foundation is built on shaky ground, marketing cannot save you in the long run. In other words, if your foundation is built on a vat of vinegar and piles of salt, y'all going down, okay? Your reputation, i.e. how people speak about you when you're not in the room, will be the ultimate judge of character. So that new and hot restaurant, the one that was booked to the gills, they did not survive. There was a lot of enthusiasm, but the more people went there, the more people checked it out, the more people said, that sucks, I'm not going back, they went out of business. And your business won't survive on marketing alone. Building a solid business with a strong reputation requires a strategy before you even start marketing. And this is important because I see a lot of people leap to marketing first before they've built the foundation in their business. We get one, maybe two chances for clients to check us out after they've seen our marketing. If you have not built a business with a strong foundation that they can trust, when the prospect walks in the door and they realize, oh, wait a minute, this is way too salty, this is way too vinegary, this is way too sweet, that's like watching a house of cards fall and they won't be returning. That's it. So we are going to be diving more into this topic at the Get More Clients Roundtable on September 21st. And if you don't make that one, they're the second Tuesday of every month. We're going to be talking all about how to build your client list the right way, how to build the foundation first, and having a great, great offerings, or in this case, really good food, before we start doing the marketing for it, okay? I'd love to see you there. So if you want to learn more about those events, head on over to bravebydesign.net/events. You can see all the events that are coming up. And I want to wish you a great week ahead. And remember, stay brave.